You don't hear about it much anymore, at least I don't. But years ago, it was not uncommon to talk to people and sing about and hear preaching about the valleys of our life. Those times when we walk through some difficult times, those times that we go through battles, those times that we struggle, those times that we feel like, I wonder what's going to happen. We call those valleys. I want to speak this morning in the 10 or 12 minutes that I have remaining about lessons from the valley. I've been at this Christian walk since I was a little boy. 7 or 8 years old, I committed my life to Christ and have followed Him ever since. And I just turned 67. And I know that's young to some of you. And you that are older, tell me how young I look, okay? But to some of you, I'm pretty ancient. But I can tell you this, I've been through a lot of valleys. Walked through a lot of difficult times. And I've walked through some great times as well. But those valley times, they're interesting. Sometimes they've been really, really tough. Other times, they've been short ones. And I heard someone say, I don't know if it was a song or if it was a poem or something, but someone, I think it was a song, that the only place you can find the lily of the valley is in the valley. And of course, the Song of Solomon, we know as a description of prophetically Jesus as the lily of the valleys. It's through the valleys that sometimes you can only know the God of the valley is when you go through them. But I have to admit, I'd rather not go through them. How many agree with me? I'd rather not have to go through them, but sometimes we do. When you Google or use your concordance and put in the word valley for the Bible, there's a ton of references. There's all kinds of valleys mentioned in Scripture. In 1 Samuel 17 is the Valley of Elah. And that may not ring a bell, but when I tell you that's where David slew Goliath, that rings a bell, right? That was in the Valley of Elah, where David faced his giant and slew him there. And sometimes we go through valleys where there are giants present, right? If you've been to Kauai, in the island of Kauai, in the Hawaiian chain, then if you've been near Kapaha Town at all, then you've heard of the legend of the sleeping giant. And the first time I saw that little mountain outcropping that looked like a giant sleeping, I thought to myself, keep sleeping. I'd rather go through the valley with the giant asleep. But the Valley of Elah is where David slew Goliath. We've often heard in Ezekiel 37 about the Valley of Dry Bones, prophetically of Israel coming back, but spiritually speaking of those times when God breathes on us, when we feel dead, when we feel dry, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes and revives us. How many know that sometimes that's a valley we walk through? We walk by faith. We don't feel anything. You know, we trust the Lord, but it's a dry valley. We feel like a clump of dry bones. And then God comes and refreshes us, and we come up, and bone come to bone, sinew, and all of a sudden we're a mighty army for the Lord. How many know that happens sometimes, right? Through the valley of the dry bones. In Joel 3:14, it talks about the valley of decision. Multitudes standing in the valley of decision. And how many times have we heard at altar calls where the pastor will quote that verse where people are needing to make a decision for Christ, a decision for the Lord. As you may know, Franklin Graham has, that he'll start, if he hasn't started already, is going to New England to preach a series of campaigns in the East Coast of our country, which is a hotbed of liberalism, left-leaning, anti-God, anti-whatever. But in a letter that many of you received probably, he said that's where most of our churches and organizations got started there. And it's time to reclaim that part of the country for the Lord. Amen? Yeah. And so people will be making a decision for the Lord. So be praying for Franklin as he ministers the gospel there. But perhaps among all of the mentions of valleys in the Bible, the most famous is the one found in Psalms 23, 4, and 5. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Say it with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for what? Thou art with me. I memorized it in the old King James, so it's thous and these and thus seem to come out. Thou art with me, the valley of the shadow of death. Now, as you look at that verse, and it'll be on the screen, but if you have your Bibles open there, we won't take time to read the whole psalm. It's very beautiful, but I just want to concentrate on verse 4 and part of verse 5. When David says there, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's a couple principles in that, and I want to share those two principles with you, or those two facts with you, and then I want to share three lessons from that valley. Knowing that not all of you are going through a valley right now. Not all of you are going through a valley experience. But you will, or you have at some time. But for those who are, I suppose this message was put on my heart to encourage you and to just remind those who may be going through something in the future that you're not alone. We sang that song, By My Request, through it all, through every season of life, through whatever it is you might be going through, whatever valley experience you might be having. I want you to know there's two facts that you need to understand. And number one, it says, though I walk through, and if you just stop there, I walk through. Notice the fact that he's walking and he's going through it. Amen? You're not going to be stuck in the valley forever. You're not going to be there forever. Through all the valleys that I've had to go through in my Christian life, I've never had to stay in one forever. I have not been in a perpetual valley. Maybe you feel like you have, but I can say that I've walked through them. How many love when the New Testament where it says, and of course this was a song that was written, and it came to pass. It didn't come to stay, it came to pass. Amen? It came to pass. And so we're going to get through the valley. That's fact number one. We're going to get through that. We're going to walk through it. We may have to be there for a little while, but we're going to get through it. David, when he slew Goliath in the valley of Elah, didn't stay in the valley of Elah. But once this giant was dead, David and the armies of Israel pursued the Philistines and defeated them. He left the valley in victory. And the army of the Valley of Dry Bones didn't stay there, but they marched on to victory. The valley isn't for us to stay in. The valley is there for us to walk through. So though I walk through the valley, it's not forever. We're going to make it through. You're going to get through this. In fact, number two is that it is the valley of the shadow, not the substance, but the shadow. Many valleys that we have to go through, the enemy delights in throwing a shadow at us, and yet the substance isn't there. The shadow is there. And shadows can be, you know, shadows can be very frightening things. I don't know if you remember when you were children. I remember well when I was a child. As a matter of fact, I can remember better when I'm a child than what I did yesterday. What did I do yesterday? Oh, yes, I mowed lawns here at the church. That's why I need ibuprofen today. But I can remember as a child the shadows, you know, in the bedroom. You're laying there and shadows and isn't it interesting that every shadow in your bedroom when you're a child generally looked like some kind of a monster, looked like some kind of a fiend, looked like some kind of a, ooh, and it, you know, you were scared. And when you tried to find the source of the shadow, it ended up being something totally harmless, all right? How many know our imaginations can run wild with us when it comes to shadows? What's casting that shadow? What's casting that shadow? I woke up one morning here a few weeks ago, very early in the morning, and went in to use the restroom, and And when I was finished, then I opened the window to look out the backyard. I always do that. And so when I did, it was amazing. When I went to bed, it was totally, totally dark. But when I opened that window very early in the morning, it was like it was like 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning. And my backyard was full of light and shadows. It was just amazing. And it startled me at first because it looked like someone had a spotlight over near where I live, and they were just throwing that spotlight at me. But, you know, come to discover it was just the moon who was shining, the bright moon shining against the trees, and all those trees had created shadows. And it looked really weird and eerie, and it frightened me at first, but then I realized that's the shadow, not the substance. There's nothing there to harm me. And that is oftentimes what happens in the valleys. Is the enemy loves to cast a shadow. He loves to tell you how bad it is and how you're going to be destroyed and how you're not going to make it and you're not going to survive. But there's no substance to that. There's simply lies to that. How many know the devil is a liar? And the father of the lie. That's right. And as my wife loves to say, there's no truth in him. So if he speaks something, there's no truth there. And sometimes in the valley of the shadow, we see the shadow, but the fact is, it is shadow and not substance. The enemy just wants to lie to us and cause fear to come into our lives. And so we don't have to fear the shadow. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, three lessons that I've learned from the valley. There are probably more, but these will suffice this morning. David said, when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil. Why? Because, say it with me, you are with me. What a difference it makes when we know that the Lord is with us. Amen? When the Lord is with us, that there's someone there, walking through the valley with us. We are not alone. We're not by ourselves. The Lord is with us. Jesus gave the assurance, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm going to be with you. That promise was not just to the apostles. It was to all of the believers. Jesus is with us. No matter what we're going through, he is with us. Difficult time, scary time, hard time, whatever time it is, he is with us. The Lord is there, and we can cry out to him, and we know that he's going to bring us strength and confidence. He knows that the valleys will make us stronger, but he's never going to let us walk through a valley by ourselves. For thou art with me. You are with me. That is a lesson that I've learned from the valley, that I can call on the name of the Lord, that I can cry out to him, that I can ask him to be with me, and that I know that he is there. I will fear no evil. There's a lot of evil out there today. A lot of evil. What the enemy would like to do is to frighten us with the evil that we go through in our valleys, in our difficult times. But he is with us. Cheryl and I know it well. We know the presence of the Lord is there with us. Many times, oftentimes, as we've gone through a difficult time, Cheryl will pray, and her confidence in her prayer is that, Lord, we know that you're here. We know that you're with us and that you're walking with us through this. You're giving us direction. You're giving us confidence. You're giving us strength. So lesson number one, the Lord is always there with us. Lesson number two from verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I'm sorry. Verse number 4, I got ahead of myself. I'll fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Lesson number 2 in this valley walking is that there is comfort for me there. Now that seems to be odd. We go through a valley and yet there's comfort there. I think of David back in the valley of Elah. They were in this valley. The armies of Israel were on one side. The armies of the Philistines were on the other side. And so the Goliath, the giant, would go down into the valley and he would holler out these invitations from one side of the valley to the other and would put fear into all of the armies of Israel. He said, who will come down and fight for me? And so David chooses to do that. And so Saul said to David, he said, use my armor. David was just a young shepherd boy, 15, 16 years of age. Saul was a very, very tall man. The armor didn't fit. You see, what Saul thought is that at least if you're going to go get killed, David, you might as well have some protection. But how many know that the protection of Saul was not what David needed? What David needed was the comfort and the confidence that comes from God. Amen? And that's the words of David. When you read 1 Samuel 17, you read the story. David said, Saul, your armor won't work for me because I've not proven it. It's not something I put my confidence in. But he said, my confidence is in the fact that the Lord helped me. He helped me when I protected the sheep. He gave me the strength to kill a lion, and he gave me the strength to kill a bear, and he will give me the strength I need to kill this uncircumcised Philistines that is casting insults to me. And so thank you anyway. Don't need your armor. I'm going to go out. So what did David have in that valley that gave him the confidence he was going to win? I believe it was, number one, the fact he knew the Lord would be with him, and number two, that he would comfort him. He would squash the fears by the comfort that the Lord gave. And in that comfort, he was able to slay that giant in the valley of Elah. And it's the comfort that the Lord gives us when we walk through a valley. And it's really one of those things that it's hard to describe, the comfort that comes when you're walking through a valley. The comfort that just you know that you're going to make it. It's the confidence that comes knowing that the Lord will comfort. Comfort is not only the sense of the Lord saying, it's okay, you know, stroking our hands, patting us on the head, you're going to make it. It's something powerful inside of us, this comfort. It's spoken of by Jesus when he said, the Holy Spirit will come and he will be your comforter. The comforter will come. And the comforter comes not just in that sense of calmness, but the comforter comes in power. How many know the Holy Spirit is powerful? Amen? The Holy Spirit is powerful. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That word for power in the Greek is dunamis. It means dynamite. You're gonna receive an explosive power when the Holy Spirit comes. So our comforter, the Holy Spirit, is with us through the valley experiences. But that is a power, and that's the power really that took out the giant, was the fact that God was there comforting. And so if you are going through a valley right now, take courage, take heart, that the Lord is going to comfort you. And then lesson number three, found in verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The third lesson is that God has prepared a table in the valley for me. Now that's interesting to me. I'm thinking to myself, if I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't want to take time to have lunch. Amen? How many of you men know that on a road trip, it's just better to go through the drive-thru and not waste time sitting down for an hour? Few of you? You mean the rest of you men have gone to the dark side? No, I'm kidding. You know, sometimes we just don't want to take time to stop for an hour meal, have a waitress service and all of that. We just want to get it and go. And sometimes in the valley, that's what we want to do. And so I've always thought it strange that you prepare a table before me in the valley of the shadow in the presence of my enemies. Why take time to stop and eat if I'm passing through the valley? And then I got to thinking, you prepare a table before me in the what? The presence of my enemies. So whatever it is that's against me is having to sit there and watch me eat lunch. He's prepared a table. Now what is on this table in my valley? I don't know. Is there oil? You know, all of the things mentioned after it? Something is prepared. God's prepared it. Is it comfort? Is it confidence? Is it strength? Is it whatever? Whatever it is, God has prepared this table. What's a table for? It, It's to eat at. It's to fellowship. It's to sit down and rest a while. And then I thought to myself, that really works. How better to goad, that's an old word. Everyone understand the word goad? Okay. Half of you? A goad was like a sharpened stick that you... Okay. Second service, everyone will get it. They know what goads are. What better way to really get to the enemy than to know that I have a table prepared and I can sit there and enjoy it in the valley that he's designed to destroy me, and he's got to sit there and watch me eat. He's got to sit there and watch me not be afraid. How better to get to the enemy than that? Amen? I thought to myself about the valley of Elah and David and Goliath. And Goliath is standing there, and he's big and he's tough, and he's got a servant that's carrying his sword and his shield. And here comes David, this little boy, and there's a table prepared for him. And what's on that table for David? Five things. Five things. Remember what they were? Stone number one, stone number two, stone number three, stone number four, stone number five. So here's the table. Goliath is watching this. He doesn't understand what this little boy is doing. He's gathering five stones. But it's only going to take one. But his enemy is watching him do this. I can only imagine what Goliath is thinking. As David says, okay, I'm ready to fight you, but wait a minute. Hold on, time out. I've got to go to my table. So he goes over to the brook, the little stream, and he starts picking up stones. That's nice. And Goliath is, what is he doing? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Five stones. Now, it's not part of the story, but I can imagine Goliath, if I were to write the story, I would have wrote it this way. Goliath would have said, what are you doing? Picking up five stones. Why five? David says, because you've got four brothers. But it's only going to take one to take you down. And his enemy is having to watch it. And we know that he slew the giant with one stone. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My enemies must watch while I enjoy the table. That's one of the great lessons of the valley. Amen. As you walk through that valley in victory and in strength, the Lord gives you that confidence that you're going to make it. I'm out of time. I have more to say. Second service folks will get the whole load. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, someone here today, most of the folks here today probably didn't even need to hear the message. Things are going okay for them. But someone here today is going through a valley. I don't know what it is. I don't know who it is. But you wouldn't have laid this on my heart had there not been someone that you knew was going to be here that needed to hear these words. They're going to make it through this valley. So whoever you are this morning, man or woman, young or old, know this. You may feel like you're going through this alone and God doesn't understand anything of it. But God sees and God is with you. And you're not walking through your valley alone. He's given you the promise that he is with you. And he's going to comfort you. He's going to give you not only comfort, but he's going to give you strength and power to make it through. And you will slay this giant. your giant will be defeated. And God will give you some moments at the table He's prepared for you to rest and repose. And your enemy will watch in wonderment at how calm you are, because you're going through the valley with Him. You're not going to be in this valley forever. God's going to bring you through. And you're going to look back and see how the Lord God of heaven was on your side. And I want you to take courage in that this morning. So, Father, now I just pray a prayer of dismissal for everyone. And when we have to go through our valleys, Lord, would you bring to the memory back this passage? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of whatever it is, the valley of the shadow, whatever it is, would you bring back to our memories that God has promised that He would be with us. Strengthen those who may be going through that valley in Jesus' name. Let us take heart. Let them be encouraged. Be with everyone today as they go about the different things they'll do this afternoon. Help them to enjoy their time with family and friends. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, and we thank you for being the God of the valleys as well as the God of the mountains. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you thank the Lord for His word today? God bless you. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.